We're sitting down over lunch, and you know, they always tell you don't ever ask for something unless you can give something first. That's just kind of always been the rule of thumb, right? Give, and then you get. Give, and then you can ask. Give, and then you can receive. And after 2 hours with this guy, Dean Del Sesto, one of my closest friends to today, I love him to death. He's been a mentor of mine forever now, 10 years. I said, Dean, I said, for the first time in my life, and I really meant this, I said, I have nothing to offer you, but I need your contacts. I need to be introduced to people that you know, because if I can get those kinds of introductions, I think that I can serve them well and I can get my business out of this hole. He says, let me see what I can do. And you never know what's going to happen when people say that. And yet 2 weeks later, Dean reached out to me and said, hey, I got two deals for you that were more than what I needed. And one of those deals turned into an incredible client, turned into an organization I went to work for, opened up the door to me coaching in the employee benefits space. I mean, it was just crazy.
Welcome to Unlocking Greatness, the podcast where purpose fuels your journey to greatness. I'm your host, Ryan James Miller, and I'm here to guide you through the remarkable stories of purpose-driven achievers just like you. Whether you're building a business empire or strengthening your family, this is your space to learn, grow, and find fulfillment. With each episode, we dive into the lives of extraordinary individuals who align their values and beliefs with professional success. Get ready for inspiring conversations, practical wisdom, and the keys to unlock your own potential in life and business. Let's embark on this journey together to unleash your potential, live your calling, and achieve the greatness that you were created for. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Unlocking Greatness. You know, it's funny. I don't know why I say that, because you just heard the intro and it said that's where you were, but I guess it's just a habit that I have formed and I continue to say it over and over again. I do want to say, I hope you guys loved the last episode of the podcast. My conversation with Bryce Heinbaugh, still, I just listened back to it, was one of the most raw and powerful conversations I've ever had. Definitely, I mean, his just insane story about having to fight off somebody that had broken into their vacation house in the middle of the night down in St. Martin was just wild. But I think what was so raw and powerful about our discussion was the fact that he was on the back end of a 3-day fast, which he shares. And so he was just depleted mentally, physically. I mean, he was literally out of it. If that was me, I would have just canceled. But that's not Bryce. He's just not that kind of guy. And so he went through with it. And because he was so empty, he had to really just let God speak through him. And he talked about that. I mean, it was incredible. So definitely one of my favorite episodes. Just a big shout out to Bryce for coming on the podcast and doing that. I've got a couple more cool episodes coming up before we take a break for this season. But for today I want to talk to you about something that came up. It comes up a lot, but it came up in a sales workshop that I was in yesterday. So yesterday, I'm recording this episode about a week or so before this will go live, but yesterday to me, I was hosting and teaching a sales workshop up in the LA area to a group of sales professionals in the landscape industry. They work for one of the largest landscape contractors in the country. And so I had that incredible opportunity to go up there and really pour into them. I was teaching on building deeper relationships and becoming more human in the sales process, which I think we've lost a lot of, but that's a topic for another conversation. Anyway, after my first break, so I did three sessions. After the first one, a young woman came up to me and she had this huge smile on her face and she just said, wow, you know, you talked about starting your business with only $500 in your checking account. Like, was that true? And I emphasized over and over again during the workshop that it was in fact true. But anyway, she asked that. And I said, yeah, I said, it was. And she goes, oh my gosh, how did you do that? Like, that's incredible. And, you know, I started to tell her, which was so true. I said that, you know, I went around to every single person I knew and I was asking if I could do work for them, trying to help them with sales, marketing, whatever. I also told her that I was side hustling. So I had come from the print world, printing of all different kinds of documents and things. And so I still had a lot of relationships in that industry. And so I was brokering print jobs where I would go out and ask somebody if they needed business cards. I would design them if I could with the little limited resources that I had, and then go get them printed from a local print shop. I would sell them to them and I would literally make like $15 off of a business card print order or $30 off of a brochure print order. It was hard, hard. And so I told her that, but then I kind of stopped myself. And I said, you know what really got me through it? I said, what really got me through it was generosity. But this isn't a story about my generosity. This is a story about the generosity of other people. Because if not for the generosity of other people, we would have never made it. And so I proceeded to tell her the story that I've shared a little bit in my book. I looked over at my bookshelf, like you can see where I'm looking. And so I shared that story with her. And by the way, I want to share this with you for a couple of reasons. I always love to give you kind of some insights into what's going on in my life and where I've come from. But also, I want to encourage you both to think about how you can be more generous, but also how you can receive generosity from others better. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So anyway, that's why we're here. And hopefully this episode is valuable to you. If it is, like it, share, subscribe, please do all those things. We're trying to get the word out. We're really, really struggling actually to kind of get over a hump that we're kind of up against right now. So I'd really appreciate you sharing this with other people. Share on social media. You can tag me anywhere you share. Anyway, so I start to tell her, I said, it was the generosity of other people. That, which I'll share in a second, gave me the opportunity to recall four significant times in my life when generosity has overwhelmed me in the most incredible ways. So that this first one was 2012. I had started my business at the end of 2011, kind of riding the high through the end of that year. And as we went into the new year, I realized that, man, I'm just not going to make enough money. And I'm not making enough money. And as hard as I was trying to work, it just wasn't happening. And I had a mortgage and a wife at home and two little kids and a lot of other responsibilities, car payments, whatever. And so at that time in my life, I was pretty prideful. I did not love to ask for help. The only person that I would really go to for help other than my wife was my mom or my dad. And at that time, I wasn't even actually speaking to my dad. It was very limited in terms of who I would ask for any help. And even then I would only ask for help as a last resort. But we were broke. Like we were struggling to put food on the table. We were getting behind on some of our payments, not our mortgage, but some of our other things. Somehow we were continuing to be able to make that mortgage payment. It was getting increasingly more and more difficult. And we were going to church here in Southern California, Calvary Chapel here, and that's where we came to faith in 2006. And while we were there, we were involved in a few of the ministries. I taught in Awana, which is kind of the young kids teaching program they did midweek. So I was a teacher there. That was crazy for another day. My wife was involved in worship, the worship ministry. I had a small men's group pretty large men's group I was a part of. We were part of a young marriage group. So we were very connected in the church by that point. And people just knew our story and they were praying for us. And then all of a sudden, the church just started pouring out on us. We were getting random gift cards in the mail. We were getting groceries delivered to our house, checks put in our mailbox, almost always anonymously. It was so overwhelming. And in the beginning, it was really humiliating. I mean, as the man of the house, that's what it had come to. And I was praying to God that he would just provide. And all the while, the idiot that I wasn't recognizing the fact that God was providing through all those other people. And that part of what he was teaching me was not just that he was going to provide, but that I needed to humble myself because it wasn't always going to be about me. Yes, I needed to work hard. Yes, I needed to be as relentless as I could in earning for and supporting my family, but it was God that was going to provide, and he was going to do that in a lot of unconventional ways at times. And it was those people. You know, I remember once or two specific instances actually that absolutely floored me. I'm not going to name names, but by the way, if you happen to be listening to this podcast and you were one of those people, because I know there's a few people that I'm still connected to that were part of that, or at least I assume so for some of you, thank you. Actually, there was three really kind of crazy times. So one of them was, I recall a specific time we got home from church. Or no, we got home from our day, and there was a pie, this pie that was on our front porch. And looking at the pie, I actually knew that was a pie that the pastor of a church and his wife really loved. And we had talked about that with him just kind of in the past. And the pie was from them. I mean, this was a huge church, thousands of people, and they thought enough to drop this pie off on our doorstep, which was so awesome. We bring it inside and there was a card with it, and we open the card and there was a large check in there to us, just to help us. And I just couldn't believe that they were so kind and so gracious. You know, the church gets a bad rap for money and mishandling and mismanagement. But this was a church that blessed us because of the resources that it had available to them from other people that were pouring into that church. So that was an incredible moment for us. Another one was, I don't remember what happened, but it was about early 2013, I think. And we had a random like tax bill come in from the previous year after we'd already settled out our taxes and everything. And it was some random number, $1,000 and some change. And I remember I was with a friend, we were at coffee and we were sitting down, we were talking. He was in ministry full time. And so he's raising his own support. They weren't anywhere near their goal for that. Anyway, so we were just sharing about all the struggles, and I was telling him, you know, this tax bill and just how awful it was. And anyway, so I go home, and like an hour later, I go to the mailbox to get the mail. And in the mail was a check from that friend in that exact amount. And I was blown away because they didn't even have enough money themselves. They were raising support so they could provide for their own family as self-sustaining missionaries. And yet they wrote us a check. It was so hard to accept, but he just absolutely said, like, you have to take this. There's just no way I'm taking it back. I'll keep writing them if you don't cash it. That was two. A third one was, again, I just started my business. I had a janky little laptop computer that I'd had for a couple of years, and it was just on its last leg, and it finally died. And I get this call one day from a buddy of mine, and he says he went to our church, and he says, hey, he goes, I'm at Costco, and I'm stuck in the parking lot. Can you come help me? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I hop in the car, I drive. Costco is about 20 minutes away from my house. I drive to the parking lot. I get near there and I call him, like, all right, where are you at? He tells me where he is. Like, I pull up right next to his car, and he's sitting in the passenger seat of his car with, I think he was by himself. And I pull up. I'm like, dude, are you okay? He jumps out of his car. He opens my back door, throws a box in there, jumps in his car and takes off. I'm like, what the heck? And I call him, I'm like, dude, what is going on? He goes, just check your back seat. I turn around and look at my back seat, and there was a brand new computer. And I just lost it. And so those three times all around our church family were just incredible moments of graciousness that we needed so desperately, and people poured out for us. Let that be a lesson to you. Another time that I think is just such a cool story, and I think this was such generosity and graciousness that I solicited. And so 2013, like I had said, my business struggled all 2012. It had started to do okay at the beginning of 2013. And then I got into this really deep hump again. And I didn't know what I was going to do to get myself out of it. I was trying to figure out finding clients. I couldn't find anybody to replace it, that revenue quickly enough. It was a couple thousand bucks that I needed to replace at the time. And so I randomly connected with this guy on LinkedIn. I'd added him to my email list. Don't do that. And so on one of my emails, I just emailed out something and he responded back with some snide remark, just like some wisecrack. And I was like, oh, open door. Perfect. So we chatted a couple times, just back and forth via email. Then finally, I'm like, hey, I'd love to go to lunch, meet you for lunch and get to know you a little bit better. I checked him out on LinkedIn. Yes, LinkedIn was around in 2013, but I checked him out. He checked out really well, seemed like a really cool guy, somebody that, I could totally get along with. Now that I think about it, that was the beginning of 2014. So 2013 was the roller coaster. 2014 is when this happened. Anyway, so I go to lunch with him. We're sitting down over lunch and, you know, they always tell you don't ever ask for something unless you can give something first. That's just kind of always been the rule of thumb, right? Give, 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 and then you get. Give, 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 and then you can ask. Give, 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 and then you can receive. And after 2 hours with this guy, Dean Del Sesto, one of my closest friends to today, he wrote an acknowledgement in my book. I talked to him on the regular. I love him to death. He's been a mentor of mine forever now, for 10 years. I said, Dean, I said, for the first time in my life, and I really meant this, I said, I have nothing to offer you, but I need your contacts. I need to be introduced to people that you know, because if I can get those kinds of introductions, I think that I can serve them well and I can get my business out of this hole. He says, let me see what I can do. And you never know what's going to happen when people say that. And yet 2 weeks later, Dean reached out to me and said, hey, I got two deals for you that were more than what I needed. And one of those deals turned into an incredible client, turned into an organization I went to work for, opened up the door to me coaching in the employee benefits space. I mean, it was just crazy what the humility in me asking for help unsolicited, or I mean, without being able to give anything in return, and the graciousness of Dean did for me. It was wild. And because of that, I will do anything for Dean. I will drop everything. He lives in Tucson now. I'd hop on a plane tomorrow and fly to him if he needed something. So that's another instance. A third instance is kind of an interesting one because it doesn't sound so over the top, amazing and life changing, but it has been absolutely life changing. Actually, you know what? I'm going to share. I'll share this way. And again, this isn't just about me telling my story. I really want you to hear into this. I want you to hear about ways that you can be gracious or that you can receive grace, because in both of these instances, it was so hard for me to accept help. I am determined. I am strong-willed. I am stubborn, and I like to do things myself. And yet, God was showing me over and over again that it ain't all about me. And I am never going to be the one to sustain myself solely by myself, as much as I think I can. So the third one, weirdly enough, also happened in 2014. So my wife and I had been CrossFitting in our garage. That's a verb. for a couple of years. So I was a cyclist. I'd been putting in a couple hundred miles a week cycling. My wife was running quite a bit, running some half marathons. I was introduced to CrossFit by a friend of mine that was a firefighter. He had a setup in his gym. I mean, he had a gym set up in his garage. He was also in charge of setting up CrossFit gyms inside of three fire stations here in Newport Beach. And he kept like, hey, come work out with me. Hey, come work out with me. I'm like, no, I can't get bulky. I'm a cyclist and I got to be skinny. And he kept pushing. And finally, I jumped in and I loved it. Little by little, I just got more addicted to it. And eventually, I was doing it a lot. So we had a setup in our garage. Michelle and I were doing it pretty regularly. I was doing probably 4 or 5 days a week. She was probably doing 3 or 4 days a week. Plus, she was cycling at the gym and doing a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, before long, we realized that it was pretty easy for me to be in the gym or be in the garage and get done what I needed to get done. I didn't mind working out on my own at that time. She was having a harder time of just staying motivated, being pumped up about it. And I totally get it. That can be really, really hard for a lot of people. And if we couldn't work out together, sometimes she just wasn't working out. So she was only doing her spin class. We were both using LA Fitness as well, but that was just kind of whatever other than her spin class and my racquetball. Anyway, so there was a local gym, Resolution CrossFit, that was just right around the corner from us. And we actually had a friend that was there and he's like, you got to go try it out. You got to go try it out. And at that time, we're like, there is no way. CrossFit was, I think, around $100, $120 a month at that time. I mean, we were paying $30 and we were tapped. We didn't have any more money. We were still really tight financially. We were barely getting by. Like, there is no way. But Michelle went up, she talked to the owners, but husband and wife, Matt and Vanessa, and she came home and she's like, I joined. I was like, you what? And she's like, they're just amazing. And I'm like, you know what? We'll figure it out. You need this. I think this is going to be great for you. Get after it and do it. So that was, I think, late 2013 that she joined. And then in early 2014, so I had been around that gym a little bit just by way of some of the social engagements that they had. I wasn't going at all because we couldn't afford for two of us to go. But I just loved the people and I loved the idea. I was really jealous of the fact that she was going, in a structured environment. And so just after Christmas time, maybe the first of the year 2014, Vanessa, the owner's wife, or the wife of the two owners, I should say, she's actually the real owner. I'm just kidding. That's an inside joke. She had approached Michelle and said, hey, how come Ryan's not coming to the gym? And Michelle said, oh, you know what? We can't afford that. It's almost too much for just one of us. Never mind both of us. And, so apparently Vanessa said to her, oh, just tell him to come. We'll figure it out. And Michelle's like, no, that's totally okay. We don't want to put you guys out, because they were still trying to build their business. And she goes, no, she goes, just go talk to Ryan, figure out what you guys can afford, and then come back and let me know. And whatever it is, we'll work it out. And so she came home and she told me that. And I'm like, babe, we're not even having this conversation. Like, we're so far apart. Like, I'm paying $30 a month. We're tight on money. There's no negotiation in between 30 and another 100 and, or up to 150 a month, or 120 a month, I think it was at the time. Like, we can't do that. We can't afford 240 a month for two of us to go to the gym. And so she goes, babe, she said, whatever we can afford. And I'm like, Michelle, like, we can only afford $30 a month. That's it. Like, don't even bother. Like, that's just not going to happen. So that was it. The next day, she goes to the gym. She comes home and she goes, Vanessa said you can join. And I said, what? I told you, like, we can't afford that. And she said, no, Vanessa said that she'll do it for what we can afford. She'll add you for $30 a month. And I could be totally outing the gym here, but you know what? That was so long ago. That was old pricing. You can't get that anymore. But I know that wasn't the norm. And they were struggling. I'm not struggling, but they were still building their business. They were, Matt and Vanessa were working together. They were in that gym full time. They were trying to build their business, provide for and build for a family that they now have. They were not in the same position we were, but they weren't that much farther ahead. And yet she offered to discount my rate by that much because she knew that it would be better for me to be there than to be doing it on my own. And I was blown away again. I just couldn't believe it. And I joined. And that decision, as the result of that graciousness from Vanessa and Matt, both the owners of Resolution CrossFit, were one of the most instrumental things that ever happened in my entire life. Like, I will eternally be grateful to Matt and Vanessa for what they have done for my life. In addition to, and this is where we can see the ripple effect or the potential ripple effect of being gracious and being generous. Matt and Vanessa opening the doors to me didn't just positively affect and impact my health and my well-being, though it did both of those things. It did something so much greater that I can never fully explain. But that community, those people in that gym, so many of them for 10 years have become like family. I mean, Shannon that works with me, I met her and her husband at the gym. I've officiated 6 or 7 weddings of couples that either met at the gym or both came to the gym, met me, and I ended up officiating their wedding. I've had countless incredible conversations, deep and moving moments, shared wild life moments with these people that I would have never, ever had in my life had Vanessa not opened up the door that day and allowed me in to her sacrifice. I even think about, there's this moment that I'll never forget, and I don't really talk about it very much. It doesn't sound like very much, but in the moment, it meant more to me than anything in the moment. So about a week after Route 91, I needed to get back in the gym. Like, I'd been home for a week, not doing anything. I was stir crazy. You know, the thoughts that could go in your head are just out of control. And so I went back to the gym, and I had had so many people from the gym. I used to go to the 6 a.m. class all the time. And so I had a great community of men and women there, and we all knew each other. We all loved each other. We went to battle together every day in the gym. And so I was getting text messages and just encouragements. They were dropping off food. I mean, they were so, so amazing to us, so many of them. So I had a lot of connection with them, but my first day coming back to the gym was really weird. I walked in, and I think it was a 7 a.m. class that day. And I remember walking in, and it was kind of eerie because everybody saw me. They knew what had happened. They didn't know how to approach it. I was super emotional. I wanted to work out, but I was holding back tears from just like being in a new environment, seeing those people. And I remember we went up to the whiteboard, which was where they do instruction, and they were getting ready to kick off class, and the coach was just saying, like, you know, welcome back, Ryan, and we're here for you, anything you need. And then one of the guys, who's now an ex-police officer, he spoke up and said something, and he said, hey, he said, would you just bow your head with me and we can just say a prayer? Or for Ryan. And I didn't know, like, what his faith background was to that point. We had never had a conversation about that. It didn't even really matter in that moment. But it was so impactful to me. It was so powerful that Chris was his name, did that. And he'll never understand the effect that had on me the way that it did. But it did. And yet that traces all the way back to, I wouldn't have had that moment had Matt and Vanessa not opened the gym up to me in 2014 to graciously and generously give me something for so much less than what it was worth. And they've continued to be incredibly gracious to my family, offering support as my 2 daughters work out there. My oldest one does full time. My youngest one is part time and will be back in the summer full time. Anyway, their generosity impacted the rest of my life, all because they were selfless in that moment and just wanted to support somebody else that was in need. That was incredible to me, and I will forever be indebted to Matt and Vanessa. I love the gym, not just because of memories, but because of what they do every single day. Just a great community, great support, great coaches, lots of fun, great friendships, but whether those things are there or not, I will never, ever say a bad word about Matt or Vanessa. I talk a lot about Matt, but only to his face because he's a lot of fun to mess around with. And he does it to me too. But in all seriousness, I have so much love and respect for Matt and Vanessa. I tell everybody I possibly know about them. I try to share the story with them. They're more than just owners of a gym. They're people of integrity and kindness and love and graciousness. They impacted me in that way. And so I will forever, ever speak of them in the same, or because of that, in the way that I do. If you're listening, I doubt it, but Matt and B, if you ever listen, thank you guys. I love you. And then finally, the last kind of a big moment of generosity that I just wanted to recall really quickly, and I've talked about this one a lot, so I won't talk about it as much, but in 2020, when the pandemic drove Gavin Newsom to shut the doors of every single building in California, two of my clients that were in-person engagements had to shut their doors, and in one simple decision, I lost $18,000 a month in revenue. $18,000 a month. That was devastating. That was the large majority of the money that I was making, and I was no longer making that money in a moment. Anyway, so I just get distracted with a lot of really negative thoughts and opinions, and I'm gonna steer clear of those because I'm trying to make this positive. But I as I've shared before, I just cried, and I went home and I shared with my wife, and she said, "I'm gonna let you sulk in it, and then tomorrow you're gonna get up and you're gonna figure it out." And I got up the next day. I went into the office anyway, because that's what I did. Into my office, not theirs, because I couldn't get past the locked doors. And I went into my office, and I thought about what to do. And the only thing that I knew to do was reach out to a couple of people that I felt like I could be honest with and depend on, and they would figure out ways to help me get out of it. And so I called two people, Richard and Jamie. They were clients. They were colleagues and friends. And I called them both and told them exactly what happened, that as a result of California shutting its doors, I lost X amount of dollars. I told them exactly what I lost very transparently. And I said, "I need your help. I need you to help me find out or figure out a way to generate more revenue. Can you give me a referral? Can you introduce me to somebody else?" And no joke, in less than a week, maybe a week, they had referred me and given me from their own business more business than I lost. They definitely gained the work that I provided to them for the bit of work I added to what we were doing. But out of their own generosity, they took time out of their day when the world was going crazy to go find business for me. Generous hearts. And without them, not only would 2020 not have been the best financial year of my life, which it was to that point, I don't even know if I would have survived financially. And I'd have probably been back in a very similar position to the one I was in 2012, where we weren't paying bills and not knowing what we were going to do next. Generosity. Those four significant times are only a fraction of how many times over the course of my life other people have been generous to me. And I'm trying to do my best. I'm not even going to talk about the things that I do, but I try to do my best as often as I can to think about ways to be generous of others. And yet I know I have not repaid half, a quarter of what's been given to me in generosity. But I want to keep stretching myself. I want to keep offering to buy somebody's lunch, to pay for somebody's meal behind me in the drive-thru line, to hear of a need that a friend, a family member, a colleague has, and just to give to it, to support it. To give of my time when I feel like I'm too busy, but somebody really needs me because they don't have anybody else to talk to. I think that we can all be more generous. There's ways for every single one of us to give more of ourselves, to bless people. And if your acts of generosity become anything like the ones that were done to me, it's not just about the moment. It's about your opportunity to impact and change the trajectory of somebody's life. The way that the entire Calvary Chapel East Anaheim family did, the way that Dean Del Sesto did, the way that Matt and Vanessa Illareggi did, the way that Richard Silberstein and Jamie Hawkins did, and the countless, countless other people that have been so generous to me with their time, their talent, and their treasures that I will forever be indebted to them. So with that, I hope you guys can go out and find a way to be a little bit more generous today. This was a different type of episode because, again, it was just really about me sharing stories, but I hope that you can reflect on moments of generosity that have been done for you and maybe bring a smile back to your face. And in other ways, maybe it will provoke you to go out there and be just a little bit more generous. Thank you guys so much for continuing to support the podcast. I am going to ask you for something right now. As a matter of fact, if you would like to be generous to me, would you please like this podcast? Would you please share it with somebody else? Would you please tag us when you share it? We are looking to grow this platform to get this message into the hands of more and more people. I think my solo episodes are pretty darn good. I think the guests that we've had, particularly in this season, have been phenomenal. And I want this to get in front of more people's hands. If you know somebody that you believe would be an amazing guest to have on my podcast, would you please reach out to me and let me know? We're trying to schedule guests for the second half of our season, which will take place later in 2024. We got a lot of other really exciting things coming up in the near future. I'll share those in future episodes because I don't want to gum this one up anymore. So in the meantime, continue to pursue the greatness that God has created you for. Thank you guys so much. Talk to you soon. Thank you for joining us on Unlocking Greatness. I am confident that today's stories and insights are steps on your path to personal and professional excellence. I'm pumped to share our next episode with you. But until then, keep nurturing your soul, challenging your limits, and unlocking the greatness you were created for.